Hey Nick, how's it going?
Very good, Martin, thanks. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. Not bad at all. Looking forward to a nice four-day weekend.
I know, I'm in holiday mode already. Well, I'm not actually. I'm a bit stressed because I'm going away for the whole of next week. Yeah. So today's like the last working day because we have Good Friday, which is a bank holiday, don't we, here in the UK?
Yeah.
So trying to get bits and pieces and stuff done and making sure people know what's going on next week, I guess. So
it's always away, yeah.
It's always the worst days are the day before you go away and the day you get back.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Hey, hopefully it'll be nice in the middle.
Yeah. How's your week been anyway?
It's been good, been busy. It's been, I think we spoke about it last week, just trying to focus on VoucherCodes Pro and the affiliate side of things at the moment. So trying to stay blinkered and focused on that and working on various bits and pieces.
Have you had any results from the stuff you've been doing, or is it still
early? Since last May when we kind of had our issues with Google, we keep thinking we're seeing sprouts of encouragement and so on. But
that's good.
We've seen some small improvements this week. But again, I think I've said for the last few podcasts, we're waiting for this big update on April 21st.
Still on the countdown for that.
Which is, getting closer and closer, I guess. So.
Cool.
How about you? Yeah. What have you been up to?
Well, it's been a busy week again, as always. The Walking Dead. I was going to title this podcast because I had a... I've got the Quora app on my phone, and I don't really do much with it these days, but I've been posting the odd thing on Quora, sort of answering people's questions and things like that, particularly when I was doing the joint up data stuff. I answered a few questions on there about merging Excel and so on, and I've noticed it started to show up, like I've got an alert every day. So they've obviously started, I don't know if they've been doing it for ages, but I've only just noticed the alerts, but they sort of let you know how many people have viewed your posts and all that sort of stuff. And every day I get a little indicator saying, you've had 33 people view your post today. I think, wow, that's good. So it's quite interesting. It's just in there, there's a mixture of sort of QT related questions and sort of Excel merging questions. And they're getting like about 15 views a day, some of them, which is amazing because my website doesn't get that much for joined up data.
Right.
So, I'd point it out really as an option that I'll certainly consider in the future for marketing, because if you're providing decent content on Quora with a link in your profile back to your website, then that can only be a good thing, surely. Mm. And the reason it's The Walking Dead is because what's actually happened is somebody's come through from the Quora post to the joined up data website on one of the articles I'd written, and submitted their email address to download one of the samples.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not going anywhere, but, it's just there. And then also, I've got a customer for joined up data this week, albeit a free one. So I foolishly, when I canned it, I meant to go back and just adjust the pricing plan so that it was just the paid ones and maybe even make them expensive so that if anyone did sign up, then it'd be worth doing it. But and I didn't do that, but I will do now.
There's always the risk of leaving the site up, isn't there?
That's the trouble, yeah. But anyway, it's a simple thing. She's bizarrely, they're based in Reading, which is quite weird. But they found the website via a Google search, and it's just a simple merging, like 10 files or something. So I just emailed them back and said, "Look, really busy. It'll take a while. That's fine. No worries." So I'll probably get it back to them next week.
It's got to be more than a slight coincidence that they're based in Reading. Did you register it for any kind of local things?
No,
any
I didn't.
A local
no,
business or
I didn't.
Have an address on the site.
So, no.
You know, when you search for pubs, it shows the map and stuff.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether it would.
That's
pop
interesting.
You up as a local business to them, maybe.
Because the About Us page, I think, has. God, I can't remember. It's not that long ago either. I think that says it's in Reading. So that's probably what it is. It's probably some link.
What search term they search for? Because I can try it as well. Least.
I didn't know. I can't know. I've not.
Keyword, not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing. I don't get any of that stuff. I mean, I guess eventually it'll come through on Webmaster Tools, but.
Probably only if there's a certain amount of volume.
Right, yeah,
display,
well,
because
there's only about two people come through from searches, that's it.
But it's not giving you any seeds of encouragement to start up again, has it?
Oh, God, no.
So I mean, why don't you take the site down then and just redirect it back to your blog or something like that?
Because I think one day, I might, if I do go down the QT thing route of doing something with QT, it would be a good project to work on as a sort of learning example type project, I don't want to burn bridges with it. Maybe this time next year, if I've not done anything with it, then I'll do that. But if I just make sure there's nothing on there for free, so that if I did get anything come through, it'd be worth my while doing it, then it's not the end of the world, is it? But the other thing I noticed as well is that we mentioned that referral spam that I was getting. There's loads more of it. Every time I've got 15 websites that are blocked now related to this referral spam, and there's a load more. It's just bizarre. I don't know why they don't just give up.
I never noticed it on any of my sites, but
no.
Anyway,
there you go.
I've got a bit of a moan about this week about corporation tax.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
Go on then.
So with VoucherCodes Pro, obviously, we started doing well initially. And this is a moan about, you know, wanting to trying to do business the right way, I guess. And so, first of all, you know, I completely respect taxes. I pay the right amount of taxes. I'm not a tax evader in any way, shape, or form in that sense. And I understand the importance of paying tax and the moral obligation of doing so, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
We're not a Starbucks or an Amazon or a Google or anything like that. But so, for the first financial year, well, the first three quarters of it, we did really, really well. And so the idea always was that we would build up savings in the bank account so that if we did have a Google penalty or any issues with Google, because that's where the majority of our traffic was coming from, you know, we'd have savings in the bank account to try and be able to work through that.
Yeah.
So the savings were basically to cover people's salaries, and our aim was always, you know, I think it's Bill Gates had that rule at Microsoft to, you know, if they didn't sell another piece of software, they'd have enough money to cover all the salaries for 12 months, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so we never got to that point, but it was, you know, we had enough money to be able to last. You know, we're still doing turnover and revenue and stuff each month, and we're basically covering costs at the moment. But there were a few months where we've dipped into savings and so on. And so our end of financial year was October last year, and so we've had all the accounts done, and now we're getting, you know, told by the accountant that the money that we've still got left in our savings account, again, which is, you know, we feel we've done the responsible thing of having money in there to cover salaries and stuff, we're going to have to pay a big chunk to corporation tax to the government. And
it's always a shock when that comes through.
Yeah, it's just a bit annoying, because if we'd have gone and spunk the money on, you know, a load of computers and a new office or desks or something like that, which I guess is what the government wants you to do, they want to encourage the spending of that money, don't they? But, you know, also being responsible directors of a business and stuff, we don't want to be having to lay people off at the first sign of trouble, you know, we're responsible for their employment and stuff.
It's
like
an interesting point,
it's
that, isn't
frustrating.
It?
It's frustrating. It's almost like, I, you know, there's rules and ways you could implement it, as if you could show that, you know, if, I guess in the first year of business, you know, could you be let off corporation tax? You could be able to save up a certain amount of money to cover those salaries and stuff like that. I don't know, but there is a way. I've done a bit of research of if you have 1 year where you make a profit and then another year where you make a loss, you can offset the two.
Right.
But the issue is you have to pay the corporation tax for the first year.
Yeah.
And it's not until that second financial year completes that you can, you know, claim it back or offset it or whatever.
And then you've got to wait for its comeback and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so that money that was supposed to pay salaries and stuff is, you know,
with
the treasury and stuff. And it may well be that, you know, worst comes to worst, we'd have to lay people off sooner than we would do. So
it seems like there's something there, isn't there? Something should happen to make
that. Yeah, the problem is with that kind of rule of, you know, you can't, corporation tax, you wouldn't apply it to first years of profits. I guess there's people who
find ways to work
around and scam it and stuff like that, but
that's the danger, isn't it? Yeah, that's the trouble.
The unfortunate thing is with this one, because with the previous company, we always did an R&D tax reclaim, so we got back corporation tax from that because we were doing quite innovative stuff around SharePoint and so on.
Yeah,
but we're working in a voucher code sector here, and it's nothing really that innovative at all. So I haven't. Perhaps we can make a claim, and we'll look at doing that, but. Yeah, it's just frustrating.
That R&D thing you were talking about, that's something that's worth pointing out in case people aren't doing that. Because if you develop products, isn't it? It has to be a product.
It's any kind of research and design. So any kind of research and design you're doing new areas.
The thing is, it's got to be innovative, hasn't it? And that's
but it's
a bit,
up to you to justify what's
that's right, yeah,
innovative
that's,
and what's not.
I was going to say, it's a bit woolly in that, you know, some people say innovative has to be like a brand new idea, but other people say it's an evolution of an idea or whatever. You know, it can be all sorts. But you're allowed to claim back some of the tax if you are doing that on the money you've spent or the time you've spent on building that thing. So it's worth looking into or ask your accountant about if you're developing products. But it reminds me that what you were talking about there about, you know, you've got your little budget, which you're saving, and then it all has to go on corporation tax. And so you end up starting from scratch again in the new year. It reminds me of a guy I know who worked for a big organisation where he had a budget to manage. And at the end of the year, he used to buy brand new equipment and stuff for the office just to use up his budget, because he knew that if he didn't use it all, he'd lose it.
Well, that's what everyone
does. So next year, But it's bizarre, isn't it? You know, it's just...
You think people should be rewarded for saving money and doing the right thing for the business.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Tax doesn't have to be taxing, apparently. So they're all bloody byline. But I mean, I think, you know, the UK, they lowered the corporation tax recently, haven't they? It's literally just come down this month, I think.
I think for big companies, it's come down.
And I think, you know, to give some praise to where it's due, you know, I think the UK does have one of the lowest rates of corporation tax in the world. So, you know, well done. But it doesn't help us in this particular situation.
No.
Yeah. But I guess it could be worse, is the stoic way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it could be much worse.
Because I think we've only, you know, we've been charged like 18% of the profits, but it could be worse if it was like 75% or 50% or something like that.
That would be
like, what's the point of being in business with that?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So how did your 7-day challenge go then?
Oh dear, I knew that was going to come up.
Can't be upbeat about it much. We can't just have this being, I've just moaned about corporation tax.
Yeah, it's got to be upbeat. No, it started out brilliantly. So after last week's podcast, it was the evening, I sat down and did my backward planning and I started to do all that, and that was really good. It's really worthwhile doing that. And rather than my usual just big chunks of backward planning and then say, you know, wave my hands over there, yeah, that's that and that's that, I sort of actually broke things down as much as I could into smaller tasks, and that is actually the key to it, I think, is to try and get as into smaller tasks as you can. And I did all that and that was great. And then on Friday, I started off brilliantly, had a good day, a whole morning, in fact, working on it, doing the design and so on. Actually, no coding, but just designing and thinking about how it would work. And then some minor crisis happened on Friday afternoon, and I ended up working on client work for the rest of the afternoon and into the evening. And so that. But then Monday, again, free. So I started doing really well on Monday. And then come the end of Monday, more client crisis, and then basically it's gone out the window.
Right.
Snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. So from Monday afternoon, mid-afternoon, till, you know, now I've basically been mainly doing freelance work with not hassle from clients, just, I think you were talking about earlier about it's always the worst when you're coming up to Easter and holidays periods, and people sort of seem to realise, oh shit, we're not going to be here for 4 days. We better get something done. And then everything starts to fall out in the week before the holiday. And so that's what's been happening this week. So Monday afternoon, everybody realised what they need to get done and the fact they're going to be away on holiday with the kids for the next however long and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so it all landed on my desk to start fleshing stuff out. So, I mean, I even was hoping last night I'd do a late night and get like a minimal viable product out or something, just so that I could say I've got something to show for it. But I was up till midnight last night working on client stuff, so I didn't really get a chance to do that. So yeah, I mean,
it's the life of the freelancer and that type of project, I guess, because they just throw stuff at you, right? Because you're not an employee there, so they don't necessarily care about your long-term happiness.
No.
And so, you know, you're just a paid resource. So like, who can we get to do this? Let's give it to Martin.
Yeah, and they don't have to be nice to you. You're on a contract where they can just terminate it if they want to, or they can keep it on or whatever. And so they don't, like you say, they don't have to sort of talk you round into doing the extra bits and bobs. They just have to say, well, we need it. And then it's up to you to work out. Now, I could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. And what could they have done? Nothing, you know, but they probably wouldn't have been very happy about it, and I probably wouldn't get any more work out of them.
You're billing by the hour or day, or... So it's not like
it's a daily rate, but it breaks down by half days probably minimum. it's all paid for. It's all fine. It's not a problem. It's just, 7-day challenges become 14-day challenges or whatever because of these sorts of problems. Yeah. So yeah, it's still going. I think it'll be okay. I mean, it's Easter, so God knows we don't get time to work on it now. But yeah, there you go. So there's that.
Cool. Should we move on to Steph then?
Okay, well, I had a look in, you mentioned last week about Xamarin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Visual Studio and C#, and Xamarin's a platform for developing, or a framework, I suppose, for developing mobile apps on. Looks really good, actually. I haven't gone into too much detail, but they have sort of iOS, Android, and Windows 8, Windows Phone stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought that you wrote C# code, which you could share across all the different platforms, but you had to write the UI platform specific.
Right.
But in further investigation, they have got their own sort of Xamarin Forms library or whatever you want to call it, framework, where you can actually build stuff that's cross-platform, which is really interesting. Because, I mean, that's the way Qt works, is you build everything in Qt. And quite often, if you want to do something that's device specific, you have to step out of you know, C++ code into Objective-C or whatever, yeah. or into Java if you're doing Android or whatever. But Xamarin, it seems they've got a bit more of the native linked in, so it's worth looking into, certainly. Mm. I mean, I'm going to stick with Qt for now because I know it, but it's one to watch, certainly. I remember looking at it a while ago, and it was obviously fairly immature when I looked at it because it didn't seem to have much of an advantage over Qt, but at the moment, I don't. I think if you're a C-sharp developer, it's definitely the way to go.
Mm. Interesting. So what else have you got? You've got more stuff. Because I've been trying to stay focused this week, so I've tried to be staying away from
hacking
news and all that kind of stuff.
I've still found a few things. Well, most of it is... there's Jared Robinson did a blog post, and it was... I think I first saw it. He's on the Micropreneur Academy, I think, and I first saw it there. His blog post called My New $156 Startup. And I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's a really interesting article about his sort of product validation technique, where he had the idea for a product. He kind of designed it, what the screens would look like, got somebody to then do actual designs of those screens, taking the screens that he'd given them. And then he did things like, you know, got them placed, so the designs that he got made put into laptop windows and, you know, laptop displays and things like that for images, just basic stuff. Put together a website which was a like a crowdfunding WordPress website, and then started emailing people and calling people and getting people to go, and he got people to sign up for the crowdfunding website. Right. So basically the key to it to me is this sort of crowdfunding idea, where when you see people talk about product validation, they're always saying, well, you need to get people to pay you up front. And that's always the hardest thing because, it's hard to ask people for something when it doesn't really exist. Mm. And B, you know, if you say, well, it will exist and promise them, they might buy it. If it's a really big problem for them, then they might give you the money. But it's one of those things that I always struggle with. But this crowdfunding idea is great because they can see that they're... you know, it looks like a Kickstarter type thing, and people are probably familiar with that idea now, and they can get involved. And so, I really like that. And I also coincidentally got an email. I'm on Pat Flynn's email list, and
it was his. I remember I said yesterday about, I thought I saw Jared on Mixed You. It was on Smart Passive Income,
right? That's okay,
heard his interview first.
Yeah. So I mean, Pat Flynn, his email I think is this week or maybe like last week. Had a thing in there about product idea validation. And he goes through all the usual stuff, you know, of making sure you share your idea so you can get feedback on it. What else does he talk about? Find other products like it that already exist. So if you've got competition, it's a good thing because it means there's probably a market. Paying attention to signs, like, you know, if people are saying things about that area that it's a pain for them or whatever, then you need to look out for that. Just going for like a mini version, minimal viable product type thing, and then sell before you build. And that's, you know, that's the thing here, is talking about having this sort of crowdfunding idea for selling before you actually build anything. And with Jared, I mean, he got more, I think it was more than 100% of what he would pay the developers to build it, because he doesn't build these products himself. He's got a suite of products.
Yep.
He sort of gets developers to build them for him. And that's what he's going to do with the money. Oh, that's what he did with the money he got from the crowdfunding. So it's a great idea. I just think it's quite interesting.
Hmm. I got a bit of dilemma around that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, Jared recently joined the Micropreneur Academy.
Hmm.
And me and you are a bit lurkers on there for ages, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We don't post very much, but we read what's going on and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's joined, I think, probably just either last week or a couple of weeks ago, and did like a little intro post.
Yeah.
And as I said before, I heard an interview with him before. So he's a teacher, basically. And all the products he's built are around helping him do various bits and pieces around, I think he's a PE teacher, physical education, so games, all that kind of stuff. But obviously with Sophie being a teacher, I'd thought about doing kind of a lesson planning software before. I'd even bought a domain name a year ago or a couple years ago. I think it's actually lapsed, so I might need a new one. But funny enough, because we were going away on holiday next week, I was thinking of sitting down with Sophie in the evenings and kind of planning this thing out and sketching a few diagrams of what the screenshots could look like. Because every Sunday or Friday, one part of the weekend, she spends like 2 or 3 hours planning lessons.
Mm.
And I kind of think there's got to be a smarter way of doing it, whether it's, you know, referring to what you taught last year, or if you're doing a Pirates topic again, because she's a primary school teacher, if you're doing Pirates, then, you know, looking back on what you did, you know, she's been teaching now for, crikey, well, it's over 10 years.
Yeah.
So she must have done the Pirate topic two or three times. So looking back at what she taught before, and
yeah,
if she can keep stats or tracking of, you know, whether a lesson went well or what she'd do next time, those kind of things. But I feel a bit guilty because he's kind of posted up one of his things as a lesson planner.
Mm.
And it kind of, it approaches things a bit differently to what, how I would do it. But, you know, there's some similarities. I'm kind of thinking, you know, perhaps, should I still attack the idea or not? I don't know.
Well, but I think you should. I mean, it's, you know, competition's good. So, you know, I wouldn't see that as a barrier for you doing it. I mean, plus, if you're doing, you know, UK teachers, the curriculum over here is different.
Yeah.
You know, primary school is different to secondary school. There's so many sort of niches within the niche, I think, that you'd probably come up with something completely different anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it potentially wouldn't be a, you know, much of a business or a big money spinner anyway, because for one, teachers don't have much money.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So
yeah,
looking at his pricing point, he's charging, I think it's $9.99 a year. So it would almost be as much build something to help Sophie with, you know, just her planning and management and perhaps the staff in her school as much as being a business thing. But because, you know, anything I can do to reduce the amount of time Sophie's having to do planning each weekend, there's more time she can spend looking after me.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, talking along that side of things, you know, one of the ideas that's been rattling around in my brain for years is, I mean, Lois is at school, obviously, and you get after-school clubs, you've got holiday clubs during the half-terms and so on, and they all seem to be next to useless at managing bookings and taking payments and managing payments and chasing people and all that. And it's just horrendous how long they must spend actually doing this.
Mm.
So I'm always thinking, just somehow pulling it all together. So that basically an app for these sorts of clubs where they can take online bookings, manage registrations online or on an iPad app or something, you know, take payments online potentially rather than... Because, you know, for some of them, or for the ones I deal with anyway, you know, you get an email with a form in it for you to fill in saying what it is you want for the next month. So you have to fill all these different boxes in and put numbers in the right place and all the rest of it. Then you have to remember to go online and actually pay via your bank or via your childcare vouchers or whatever. And there are the deadlines and things. And if they miss the deadline, in theory, you haven't got a place for that next month and all that sort of stuff. And it's just a bit of a pain in the ass, where you should be able to do it all in 1 5-minute step, log on, fill it in, pay, done. So that's something I've always rattled around. But these, again, these clubs don't have any money. You know, they barely have enough money to pay the people that work in them. So whether they'd be prepared to spend some money on that, I mean, they should do, because the amount of time they spend on it, if you charge £30 a month, it'd be worth their while. But anyway, I might do that one day as another 7-day challenge.
Well, because actually, as you mentioned, the 7-day challenge thing, what you could do with that idea, because the problem is whenever you take on a 7-day challenge, there's a risk that client work might get in the way of this.
Yeah.
And so you could do it like Jared's done it and actually outsource the development.
Yeah, that's kind of why what interested me about that article really is that's kind of what could work.
I was thinking I could perhaps do that for this one as well.
Mm.
Because, you know, well, the kind of thing I'm talking about is basically a bunch of forms that read and write to a database and then display it in a calendar view and so on and so forth.
It's not
that technically challenging, is it?
No.
I guess coming at the user interface and it being intuitive is the hard bit, or the challenge bit. But yeah.
It is. That's where the devil's in that detail, because... you know, every idea you ever have and you start to sit down and trying to design it out, well, this is me anyway, I get bogged down with the user interface and trying to make it work properly that makes it, you know, efficient for the end user. And the more efficient you make it, the more complicated things become, because you want the app to make intelligent assumptions, you know, about the data that you've already got about that person.
Yeah.
And to do that is complex, because you need to... look it all up and know what's going on and all that for each thing you do. But then, of course, if you can do that, that's your differentiator and makes it a better product.
Yep.
Anyway, that's enough about
it. Any more stuff?
Well, we got a tweet from Ken.
Yes, good friend Ken, who we need to meet up with again soon for dinner, don't we?
We should do. We're due. We're long overdue.
He's our ultra marathon runner friend.
Yeah. Crazy man.
I guess he listened to the last podcast, you talking about the half marathon and stuff, and the... introduced an interesting new marathon / half marathon called, what is it? The Saturday Night Marathon.
Saturday Night Marathon.
which is in July, running along the Thames towpath, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like there are two. There's the half marathon in July and then a marathon in September, from looking at the website right. just now. But yeah, running along the side of the Thames, that sounds good. But at night time, I don't know.
That's so it's not in the heat of the day, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, July, yeah.
Middle of summer almost.
Yeah, but it's not quite so picturesque in the dark.
No, but it'd be quite cool because you have to have little headlamps on
yeah,
you, don't you?
So gadgets.
Make sure
gadgets.
You don't run into the yeah. water. I wonder what would happen. Yeah. Anyway,
that's
but that fits my my idea more of running and training in the
fair weather
rather
running
than through friggin' winter.
Yeah.
So,
although this is England, remember?
Yeah, that's true. But the good news is the hip flexor has been improving.
Oh,
been
good.
Doing lots of stretching and stuff. And I can before like about 4 weeks ago in the morning, first thing I could hardly sit up out of bed. Like it was hurting that
really
it was hurting the core and stuff but shit. Now that's a lot better. I can actually sit up out of bed, so it's a good thing. Yeah. My hands to kind of push myself up and so the stretching is really helping with that, so hopefully be able to start doing a bit more miles. But with the run streak thing, I'm up to day 92 now.
So wow,
up to 100.
We'll have to go out and get drunk for 100. No. That'll ruin the run streak.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, the other thing I spotted just actually this morning on the BBC website was a thing called a Chromebit. Mm-hmm. Google have released a computer on a stick. Basically, it's like a USB drive thing that you basically have to provide a display and keyboard and all the rest of it. But you just plug this thing in, this USB thing in, and it right. runs Chrome OS. Hmm. And they're going to charge less than $100 for it. You know, when you just provide your own hardware and then you've got this computer. Apparently Microsoft do something similar, although it's a bit more expensive. And I'm so out of touch, I'd never heard about it.
Right. So, this wasn't announced yesterday, was it? April Fool's Day.
Oh, that's a really good point. it was. So it's on the BBC website with a date of the 1st of April.
You never know.
You never know.
It did have the Chromecast thing, wasn't it? So basically you could stream
yeah,
stuff from
yeah,
Android
yeah.
too.
Oh, well, maybe I've just been caught out, but I don't think so. I think it looks fairly legit. Yeah. So that's interesting. Something that, if it, that is true, I'm not surprised. You're getting me down to myself now.
Well, you're the one who does the mix in the podcast. You can just cut this
out. I'll cut this bit
out
yeah.
Sunday night if it turns yeah. out. You have to do a bit of checking there. Yeah. There was some funny stuff. Did you see the Pac-Man on Google Maps yesterday?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I saw the screenshot of it.
Oh, right.
So you could play Pac-Man, couldn't you, on Google Maps?
Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
I found it quite funny.
Did Matt Cutts do one as well?
Well, you pointed me to it yesterday, yeah. didn't you? SEO Ninja or something.
Yeah, SEO Ninja. And I went to the website and it just didn't seem right at all. So, yeah, I think that was one. I didn't hear of any others, actually.
Well, there was one in New Zealand, which was quite funny because it was a double bluff. Because this local New Zealand paper said, come along to this BMW dealer and the first person who turns up gets a BMW. And it actually happened. So loads of people read it thinking it was an April Fool's thing, didn't bother going. This one lady turned up and
wow.
She won a 50 grand BMW apparently.
So. Brilliant.
So that's quite good for a marketing and PR thing because that's I got some coverage for being a double bluff April Fool's thing.
Yeah. Cool. Right. So I just one other thing. We don't talk politics, and I don't think we should. But it's the leaders' debate tonight. You want to watch that?
No, probably not.
No, I'm tempted, but I feel like I should know more about it rather than just turn up and put a cross in a box.
Vote conservative and all. I'm not sorry about that fact.
No.
Even though I just moaned about corporation tax earlier on. Stuff
yeah.
It's all the.
I never know what I'm going to do, so I'll have to read about it. Anyway.
Right. So I'm away next week. So you might have a different. We're talking about you doing perhaps interviewing someone.
Yeah, well, so we might have a break for a week or two because it's Easter and we've got various other things going on. But I'm hoping that maybe we'll try and get an interview or something just to fill the gap for a couple of weeks.
But, yep.
So if you don't hear from us for a week or two, then don't worry.
Yep.
It's just the holidays. But if you do, then it'd be interesting to see what you think.
Yes. We've been toying with the idea of doing interviews, haven't we, for a while, of perhaps breaking up because we've had... It was supposed to be a podcast about us
discovering
new ideas and
a bit of a lull
our original work in terms of Vatrico's perennial freelancing stuff had got in the way of us trying to do that. So we're still enjoying doing the weekly podcast, but we thought about interspersing the odd interview in now and again to perhaps break it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, perhaps we'll see how that interview goes and what other people think of it. And
yeah, I haven't contacted I've got someone in mind. I haven't contacted them yet, but if they can do it, then that'd be good. And probably do that for next week.
Great. Sounds good.
Excellent.
Well, have a good Easter break.
Yeah, and you.
And I'll see you in
and everybody
a
week and out a half, there.
Nearly, yeah, and everyone else. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cheers then.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.